John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. I'll begin in verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Boy, that's a heavy statement right there. Serve the Lord and the Father, God, the Creator, would honor you for it. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now looking at this passage, we understand that we are looking at the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and some of the things spoken in the Word of God were spoken by the Word of God. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Word. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten, glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And here we've gotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We understand Jesus Christ is the Word. I want to look at some things today about the Word. And I want to look at these verses and start in 20 again, read down through here a little ways. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Then came therefore Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. So the first thing I want to look at is the popularity of the Word. Now, when we look at the popularity of the Word, we have to understand two things. First of all, that King James Bible is the most printed book in the history of mankind. It's the most hated book of the history of mankind. It's also the most loved and revered book in the history of mankind. It's the popularity of the Word. But I want to talk about the popularity of the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us also. So the popularity of that of the Word Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, he was very popular among the Pharisees. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to destroy the Word of God. You know what the Pharisees do today? They try to destroy and discredit the Word of God. You know what they did to Jesus Christ? They come up to him and tried to trick him, and they tried to say he was full of error and say there was a mistake with Jesus Christ, that he had made a mistake and there was a problem with Jesus and he wasn't the right Messiah and all this. And that's the same thing they do to the Bible. They try to discredit it and say there's a problem with it. There's a mistake here. There's a problem here. There's a problem there. The Word of God is very popular with its enemies, and it's very popular with its friends. Amen? The Greeks come along, and he was popular with the Greeks. You know what they said? The Pharisees were trying to get rid of the Word, and the Gentiles were trying to get close to the Word. You know what used to be in the churches? In the churches, people wanted to get close to the Word. And if you're going to get close to the Word, Jesus Christ, you're going to have to get close to the Word, the Bible. You're going to have to get in there, and you're going to have to get in there and pray and read this book and beg God sometimes to show you something. Ask God to show you something. I've oftentimes read the Bible and got nothing. except conviction that I wasn't getting anything. And then sometimes you go to the Bible and you say, Lord, I got nothing. I do this every week. Lord, you got to give me something for Sunday, amen? Because the Lord, all He wants to do is put a dunce cap on me and sit me in the corner most of the week, amen? But I'm like, Lord, you got to give me something for Sunday. And if it gets around to Saturday and I got four or five messages floating around in my head and I got no definite answer, sometimes I get pretty desperate about Saturday night about 8 o'clock. Lord, what am I doing here? And He's like, yeah, what are you doing here, bozo? Amen. But you sometimes you say, Lord, just give me something. Show me something. And you start reading this book and He will talk to you. And He'll show you some things. And the popularity of the word, the Pharisees were out to get Him. The Gentiles were wanting to get close to Him. And then in verse 23 it says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. You know what the purpose of the word is? To glorify the Father. Now here's where I didn't know how far I was going to get into the Bible issue, but here's where we're going to get into the Bible issue. Thy word, O Lord. The entrance of Thy word giveth light. You know what this book does? This book doesn't necessarily tickle your flesh, but it glorifies the Father. When you go, a president, Trump's different. Trump's different. I mean, very different. If you went up to him and said, hey, what's going on, Donald? That wouldn't be a big deal. But you're not going to go up to Jesus Christ and say, hey, what's going on, brother? Amen. You're not going to go, most people wouldn't go to the leader of their nation and say, hey, what's happening? In the Old Testament, before they went to the king, even if they let him out of prison, they would shave and clean up and go to him in a manner of respect and honor and say, if it be your will, O king. You say, well, what's that all about? It's about the Word of God. The Word of God glorifies God. You say, well, I just don't understand the these and the thys and this and that and the other. It glorifies God. It's not supposed to be something that necessarily your flesh goes, woo, there's these and thous and thys in there. It glorifies God. It doesn't cheapen Him and bring Him down to the Jesus is my brother thing or the old man upstairs thing, which is right on blasphemy. Amen. That's just ridiculous. He's not the old man. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Creator. He's the judge of all things. He's the one that sent His Son to shed His blood, the death, burial, and resurrection, so you and I can get to heaven. He's the one that you're going to stand before Jesus Christ Himself at the judgment seat of Christ as a saved person. And the lost are going to stand for it, the great white throne of judgment. They're going to stand before Him, and they're going to be judged. And if their name's not found written in the book of life, be cast into a lake of fire. He's not just some person that you address in some kind of a Harry Carey manner, if you will. You go to Him with in a manner of respect and honor. And people try to cheapen God's Word. But the purpose of God's Word is to glorify the Father. We're not trying to bring Him down to us. He already came down to us. And when He came down to us, He died for us so we could be born again and He could bring us up to Him. Amen. If anything, we should be more formal after being saved than less. Now, I'm not talking about, starting at 10:59 and 59 seconds and singing at 11:05 and all. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not saying you can't go to God and say, Lord, help me. But I'm saying the attack on the words of God and the attack on the Word of God has cheapened the image of the world that they have of the Father. I've seen that so much in the prison. Preaching over there for eight and a half, nine years every Sunday. And you get a guy in there and once in a while they'd talk about the man upstairs and all this. First, God is not a man that He should lie. He's not like us. He's like He wants us to be. Amen? He doesn't want us to want Him to be like us. You know that's the reason Israel rejected their Messiah? They didn't want a perfect Messiah. They wanted a sinner that they could feel comfortable around. They didn't want somebody to convict them. They wanted to create their own Messiah that they could be comfortable around. And they're going to get that. They're going to get to create their own Messiah. They're going to get to identify their own Messiah that's not the right one. But you know what the world wants? They want to create their own God that they can worship however they want. Oh no, God is love. I've talked to the Sodomite crowd before many times, and they're like, when's the hate going to stop? When's the hate going to stop? Well, the hate stopped at Calvary. He loved you enough to die for you. When's the hate for the one that died for you going to stop? Amen. When's the hate for the truth going to stop? I mean, you can find problems with me, and I can find problems with you. We can find problems with each other, but you're not going to find anything God's guilty of. If he was guilty of anything, maybe he's more long-suffering than we would ever be. Amen. But he's right about it. He's always right. But you're not going to find anything God's guilty of. Well, your God, why would your God do this? Well, our God put Adam in a perfect place. Adam and the devil and Eve messed it all up. And now the wages of sin is death, and sin is just running rampant in this place, destroying everything. And people are blaming it on God when he set up the perfect system. You know what he's given you? He's given you eternal life. He's moved into your heart. He's given you a Bible. He set up the perfect system for you. And if you just quit, if we just quit being like Adam and Eve, amen, and do what God's told us to do, we wouldn't have the problems we have with us. But the word's popular, and the word has a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify the Father. And well, I'll tell you what, if preaching doesn't glorify the Father in some manner, it's not worth preaching. Amen. Verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We've seen the popularity of the word, the purpose of the word. Now we see the planting of the word. God himself sent his Son, the Word of God, in the flesh to die and be buried, to rise again, to resurrect from the grave, to defeat death, hell, and the grave, to come back out to produce fruit. The planting of the Word. The Word of God was planted in the soil, was planted in the ground, went to hell, and paid your sin debt. Amen? The planting of the Word. Verse 24, the end of that, it says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now we see the prosperity of the Word. You realize there are going to be millions of people that live for eternity because the Son of God was planted. That seed was planted. That seed died, and it's still bringing forth life. You realize, now listen to me carefully, I'm not going to try to undivide or unrightly divide or any of that stuff, but after the church leaves, it's still going to produce fruit because he's involved in everybody's salvation one way or another. They're going to have to keep the law. They're going to have to keep some faith. They're going to have to do some works and all that. But Jesus Christ is still the chief cornerstone after the church is gone. Amen. He's not going to lose his spot. He's not going to lose his glory. Matter of fact, he's going to get the glory from Israel that he's finally going to get the glory from Israel that he deserves. The planting of the Word, the prosperity of the Word. Look at verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. We see the passion of the Word. You know what he's passionate about? Obedience to the Father. Obedience to the Father. Think about this. As born-again believers with Christ indwelling us, what we ought to be passionate about is not the things of this world. We should be passionate about obedience to the Father. We should be passionate about His Word and trying to conform to His image and being obedient to His Word. Not trying to attack it or get rid of it, but to fall in line with it. Amen. The Lord said, now listen to these words again. Now is my soul troubled. Now it's one thing to be nervous, to be upset, to be anxious. But when you're troubled in your soul, when you're facing something that just bothers you in the deepest part of who you are in your soul, there's a difference. There's a big difference between, I think, I just run a stop sign without completely stopping, and the lights are on behind me, and headed to Calvary, but die on the cross. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. All the anguish and pain that he was facing, all the worry that his flesh had, everything that he was going through in the garden and everything he was going through leading up to Calvary, knowing what he would hit, what he would become sin for us on that cross. He's still able to say, but for this cause came I into this hour. Passionate about obedience to the Father. Verse 28 and 29. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Now, I got a theory on why two people heard different things, but I'm not going to get into that. But I want to talk about the power of the word. The power of the word. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. I was thinking about this when I was reading this passage last night again. I was thinking about, you ever been out in the daytime when there's just maybe a real light cloud or two out and nothing really, the sun's shining, and then all of a sudden you hear a big crack of thunder? That's eerie. In the daylight. And it's just, there's so much power behind that thunder. You know, it's not, you know, man thinks they can be God, so they got nuclear bombs and atomic, all this stuff, you know, and they can split an atom and do this and do that. And man can destroy. Man can't create. Man just uses what God gave him to destroy stuff. Amen. But man can come up with all this and look at Hiroshima and look at this and look at Nagasaki and all. Look at all this different stuff. And then God thunders in the middle of a bright, sunny day. And it kind of gives you chills. You ever been out? I like bad weather sometimes. I like to watch it rain. I like to go out when it's thunder and lightning. Maybe I'm strange, but I like to see that stuff. But boy, every once in a while it'll crack so loud you'll swear. You look, Lord, I think that just hit our house. That was close. I mean, you start confessing sins you haven't even committed, amen. Confessing your neighbor's sins, amen. But it's just the power of that thunder, and I don't think God could have used a more strong term than it thundered. And his voice thundered. Could you imagine? I don't want to imagine, but I think that people that are at the white throne of judgment are going to hear that thunder. When he says, guilty! Depart! Amen? But the power of the Word of God. You know what the power of the Word of God? Here, the book. You know what this book has power to do? It has the power to convict. That's why the devil wants to get rid of it, so people don't get convicted. And if you're not convicted, then you can just ask Jesus into your heart and add Jesus like a little sprinkle topping on a cupcake. Instead of realizing you should burn in hell and he paid your sin debt and you need to trust him and call on him for forgiveness and he'll give it to you. But that word will convict. That's why the devil wants to get rid of it. That's why I like Bible tracts. Because then they have to run from God instead of me. Amen? But the word convicts. And if you're saved, you know what it does? It corrects. That's why a lot of saved people don't like to read it, because it corrects, because you're coming along through there. I've said this before, I'll say it again, and you're looking at Israel, and you go, how in the world could a people be so obstinate? How could they be so bullheaded? How could they be so foolish to make the same mistake over and over and over and over again? And the Lord says, you do it too, but yours are on purposes. You've come to the fork in the road so many times and made the wrong decision on purpose. How could you point your finger at Israel? Maybe God don't talk to you like that, but he talks to me like that. Amen? It convicts. It corrects. It tells you, hey, you're doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing this, and you're not doing this. The sin of omission, it'll point those out. I'm your Lord and Savior. I've sent you out. I've saved you to be a messenger for me, and you're not doing it. It'll convict you there. It'll correct you and say, this is what you need to do to get right. And it'll conform. It conforms you to the image of Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I don't want to be a Pharisee. God's not asking you to be a Pharisee. He's asking you to be like Jesus Christ. He's asking you to take his commandment seriously. That's what Jesus did, by the way. Jesus wasn't at the LGBTQRSTUV rallies going, yay, everybody's love, love, love. He was going out there and telling the religious folks, hey, you're wrong, and my Father says so. And I'm going to live a life that glorifies the Father. You know what he did? He lived a life that glorified the Father. From the time of your new birth, you have the chance to do that because Jesus lives in you. The power of the Word of God, it convicts, it corrects, it conforms. You know what it's going to do later on? Remember at the Battle of Armageddon, you know, here where the church leaves, hopefully soon, there's the tribulation time, the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ comes back, and out of his mouth, what is it? A two-edged sword. Wipes out his enemies. At the end of the Battle of Gog, Magog, after 1,000 years, fire comes down from heaven and devours them. Our God is a consuming fire. Hey, the Word of God convicts. The Word of God corrects. The Word of God will conform. And the Word of God consumes. Consumes. It's going to wipe this place out. You think about it. You think, well, I don't know. These seats are pretty comfortable. It's going to wipe the whole, not just the church, not just Eaton, Ohio. This whole place, this whole world is not going to be renovated. God's going to build a brand new one. Because even the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, and he's not going to do it by lighting a match. He's going to do it with his word. Judgment. You know, people like to pretend like hell's temporary. Well, you know, you're just going to go and burn up and be annihilated. Well, the beast and the false prophet were there for 1,000 years. Even if they were right on annihilation, that's a long time to burn. Amen? I mean, this world, if you live here 80, 90 years, that's a long time to be in this dumpster. But could you imagine being in hell if it was only 1,000 years? But see, what they don't realize is God takes some time and he throws it away. So they're just in hell, in agony. With no clock, no time card, no hope of getting out, no chance of the pain going away. Amen. Where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Power of the Word. You know, he spoke eldermen into existence too for the devil and his angels, by the way. Not for man. But man chooses to follow the devil instead of trusting Christ. They'll end up where they shouldn't be. The power of the word, 31 and 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The prevailing of the word. He defeats Satan. You know what he defeated Satan on Calvary? When Jesus Christ come back out of the grave, Satan was finished. Now the end, the ultimate end of Satan, he has no hope now because Jesus Christ come back out of the grave. But the ultimate end, the Word of God will defeat Satan at the Battle of Gog and Magog, where he's cast in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet had already been for 1,000 years, forever. The prevailing of the Word. He prevailed at Calvary. He'll prevail at Armageddon. He prevailed when you got saved, amen? There was a battle for your soul going on between the devil and the Lord, and the Lord, you allowed the Lord to do what he wanted to do, and he saved your soul. The Word of God prevailed. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He defeats Satan. He paid your sin debt. The prevailing Word draws men to salvation. I believe every man is drawn to Christ. It's up to you whether you go or not. I believe the guy on the backside of the desert, on the other side of the hill that has never heard of a white man or even knows there's a different race, I believe that guy that bumbles and jumbles around with a bone in his nose and a plate in his lip and a spear in his hand looks up at the sun in the morning and he says, there's a God up there, and God's drawing him and say, if you look for truth, I'll send it to you. And he's got a missionary sitting over there getting ready to get a tract to this guy, get a Bible to this guy. And I believe he's drawing that man, and I believe if that man answers that call, God will save his soul. And I believe if he looks up in that sky and rejects the preaching of the Word, the preaching of the creation, that God will damn his soul. He'd damn his own soul to eternity in hell. I believe that. But I believe Jesus Christ died for all men. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't think he just died for a certain amount of people. He died for everybody. The prevailing word, he draws men to salvation. Let's look at 32 again. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, the preeminence of the word. You know, Jesus Christ had to be lifted up to die so man could be saved. We rose again, and he saved your soul and moved into your heart. You became an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Christ. You speak for Christ on this earth. Your words, your actions, your reactions, you're an ambassador for Christ. If we went over to Iran, they send their ambassador over here to the UN or whatever. Boy, I wish they'd move that junk out of here, but they send an ambassador over here and he comes over here to the United States. You know what he's supposed to do? He's supposed to represent his country. The United States ambassador is supposed to go across seas to another country and represent his country. And you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to go to a lost and dying world and represent your Savior. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The preeminence of the Word is what I want to look at. The preeminence of the Word. The problem with the world is not Joe Biden and Kamala Harris or Donald Trump or whatever you might believe. The problem with the world is the preeminence of the Word is not there anymore. People aren't lifting up Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be given the preeminence. He's more important than Donald Trump. He's more important than Joseph Biden. He's more important than a Democrat Party or a Republican Party or a person. He's more important than a church or a church name or a church pew or a church family or a religious system. He's more important than anything in this world. He's supposed to be lifted up and given the preeminence. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, not brought down to the world and became worldly, where people pretend like Jesus is just a man that puts up with everything, but lifted up and say, look, this is your goal. This is who you should be like. This is who you should look to. This is the one that can save you. This is the one that can make you right with God. This is the one that paid your sin debt. This is the one that deserves the preeminence and the glory. If we'd lift him up and say that to a lost and dying world, instead of just pointing out their flaws, we know the world's flawed. Good night, we're part of the flaw. But lift him up as the perfect Lord and Savior, given a preeminence. The popularity of the word, loved more than anything, hated more than anything. The purpose of the word, to glorify the Father. The planning of the word, the prosperity of the word, the passion of the word, to please the Father and obey the Father. The power of the word to convict, correct, conform. No. To consume. And I'm not talking about an eternal soul. They won't be consumed. Let this be an agony. The prevailing of the word defeats Satan, draws men to him, and the preeminence of the word. We are ambassadors for Christ. Paul said, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly. You know we need to be praying for each other? That we can open our mouth boldly to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Because we need prayer for that. It's not easy to do. It should be, but we're so messed up that it's not. It should be easy to say, Jesus Christ died for me. He buried, he rose again. He gave me eternal life. It should be easy. But we're so carnal sometimes. And the world is so much on an attack mode against the truth. And our pride will get hurt. Our feelings will get hurt. We might have to suffer a little quote-unquote persecution because Aunt Agnes gave me a dirty look when I told her about Jesus. Well, she's going to give a lot of dirty looks when she finds out you didn't tell her at the white throne judgment. Amen. But we should be able to give him the preeminence with no problem. I guess the question we have to leave with is, what's stopping us from wanting to always give him the preeminence? It's easy to look around the world and see all the problems are everywhere. There's a problem with us. Well, we don't want to lift him up to a lost and dying world like we should. And, well, we're doing all right. We're going to church. We're reading our Bible. We're rightly dividing. The biggest trouble we have is praying and witnessing. Praying and witnessing. And I think one of our downfalls, our shortfalls in praying, is praying for each other to have the boldness to witness. I don't know about you. You ever give one of those milk toast witnesses where you're like, I got it done, checked it off the list, and people are like, I don't know what you said. Jesus saves. They probably read that on a bumper sticker. God did not appoint the bumper of your Mercury to be an ambassador for Christ. Amen. He appointed us to say, you know what? We're in the same boat. Without Christ, we'd be heading the same direction. The only reason I'm going to heaven is because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can go is trusting the same thing. Give them some scripture. Give them a Bible tract. Give them the truth. I don't know about you, but when I get past the discomfort of witnessing and I witness, I feel better. When I give in to the temptation to sugarcoat it or to soft pedal it or I don't do it at all, I feel horrible. Amen. It's kind of like if shots were good for you. And they really helped in everything. And you went and got one. And it hurt for a minute, but you were glad you got it. Take a shot for witnessing for Jesus. You'll feel better on the other side of it. I promise you, you'll feel better at the judgment seat of Christ if you give Him the preeminence now. Now. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank You for the call. We are unworthy and by ourselves and in and of ourselves unwilling, most sometimes, and unable to lift You up, glorify You. Help us die to self and live for You, Lord. Help us to give You the preeminence. Not some kind of a fake, pansy, superficial, but from the heart, be able to look another person in the eye and say, the Lord loved you and died for you. And all you have to do is call on Christ, asking to forgive you for your sins. And He'll save you and take you to heaven. Help us give the good news to a lost and dying world and give You preeminence and be a blessing to the cause of Christ while we're here. And help us to have that passion to obey Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.